NHLY Mobile, NHLY Mobile from NHASD. NHLY Mobile, NHLY Mobile from NHASD. Listening here, Tom?
Good morning. Warren's back online. Yay. Good morning. What did that entail? Had to put a 5G cradle point modem at the site, and we'll wait until the weather breaks a little bit and get T-Mobile to fix our mount for the dish to get the microwave back in there. I had a feeling based on the eavesdropping I was doing, it was not going to be an easy jump up there and fix it, but good, a little improvised. Give me a minute, I gotta get gas, I'll be back. Good hearing you. NADBF. Well, Anthony, how are the roads? Huh, maybe I was mistaken. Who else was out here? Well, that's interesting. I swear there was a conversation before I jumped in. All right, W8FU. All right. I'm back in the saddle. Yes, I am. What's up? NADBF. W8RCY. Morning, Donald.
I missed you guys so much. I left 82 degrees behind this morning when I left. Well, actually, when the race was over with it, it was like 82 degrees. And we flew out of there a little late because we had no place to land. Ohio, Kentucky are a little rough. But we were able to make it into Michigan. So I've been home for about 3.5 hours.
Forgot you had another race. Where did you say it was?
The race was down in Daytona Beach, Florida, same place where they run the NASCAR race. Last week was testing and preliminary stuff. This past weekend was the race. 24 hours, no major tragedies, nobody got hurt, anything like that. But we did have 6 hours of caution lap because of the fog. The fog was so bad, we couldn't see across the track from the main press box, they call it the master control tower, where race control, media, and everybody sits. We couldn't even see down into the pit lanes from up there. That's how bad the fog was. So for 6 hours, we did nothing but watch cars go around the track at under 100 miles an hour.
That's a bummer. At least no one got hurt, and sorry you had to come back for this crazy, terrible weather.
We have people that drove in from Atlanta, and they live towards the northern half of Atlanta, and I guess they've got almost 2 feet of snow where they live, but they drove, and they're gonna stay the night and go home today if they can, but they weren't going to risk it. Cause nobody really got out of there until about 8 o'clock last night when we were done doing paperwork, and cars are now getting lined up for post-race inspection. That's the only thing that's carrying over today because they got to go over, I think, 12. Yeah, they got to go to about 12 or 15 cars for post-race inspections and things like that. That'll wrap up today, and then we're out of there completely. And NASCAR moves in next week.
F you.
K-E-A-R-U-H.
Good morning, everybody. Sean, I heard you first, then go ahead and hand it to Anthony.
Yeah, so that was weird. You said you were breaking for gas, and I couldn't raise anybody, and apparently we're disconnected again. So that's the problem with the modems. They're hit and miss. All right, anyhow, good morning, gentlemen. Good morning, Donald.
sounds like you're back. Ooh, welcome back to the winter wonderland in the nice, beautiful temperatures. Anthony, go ahead.
Good morning, everyone. Yeah, Sean drugged me over here. I was over on LTS and chatting, and then he's like, oh, we're all over on Warren. So here I am, pulling up on my second accident. This one looks like a doozy. It looks like we got a rollover with a pickup at the end of the vehicle that's rolled over. This one's exciting.
Did we lose Donald?
I thought it was Dakota, then me. I'm bad. Well, I don't have all my faculties yet. I left 82-degree weather to come home to this, and yet we didn't get out of there. Well, we could have left at 9 o'clock, but we didn't get out of there for another 2.5 hours because once the plane goes up, we had no place to land except for maybe parts of Wisconsin and here in Michigan. We had four other stops to make, and we couldn't land, so they decided to wait, and we were able to make all but the last two stops, and I think those have alternate airports to land at in Ohio and Kentucky. Other than that, though, yeah, the race was okay for those who chimed in late. We had 6 hours of caution because of the fog, so we watched cars go around for 6 hours at about 100 miles an hour versus, you know, close to 200. So that was rough, but I was able to get a nap in, so that helped. But other than that, yeah, I'm home. I'm home now until March. Got another one down in Florida, so that's a bit about it for me. And what is working, Sean, and what is not working? Because I noticed when I turned my note on this morning, pulled the dust off of it, it showed up on the hub. So are we back in business or are we not back in business? I'm on my node.
Go ahead and answer him, Sean.
Really? You're on your node? Dakota, what are you on?
I've been flipping back and forth between Romeo and Richmond.
All right, maybe we're just disconnected from MI-1. So UMP and LTS will be not connected. I know they went down last night, but I thought that was just for the Sunday night net. They should have reconnected. So, maybe that's what it is.
Yeah, it's definitely not connected. But a little update on my car accident. It was not a car accident. It was a truck that ran down a big light sign on the side of the road, and I think it was on purpose because there was one that was knocked down about a mile before, and there were cops around it. And then there was the second one that the guy was up in the median and had pushed it up there, and there were a couple cop cars. So he might have just been protesting street signs.
Please tell me it was that Dennis, or that jewelry, that lit up jewelry sign at 15 and DeQuinter.
No, I was still on the highway.
Well, that's crazy. When I keyed up this morning, I turned everything on. I just noticed that the Warren repeater was on the hub listed, so I said, oh, okay. And that's why when I first keyed up and said good morning, I was on the 600 repeater, and now I've switched to my node. So both of them seem to be functioning on my end. Over to who's next. I don't know if Dakota's still in the loop or not. If not, Sean.
I'm here. I'm on Romeo. But on high power, though. I don't know why it sounds so scratchy. I just rolled into Macomb County, and would you believe it, the roads are clear, other than the fact that we're doing 30 for no reason.
Who gets it after Dakota, Anthony, you or me?
You do, Sean.
All right, and we're established. So me to you to Donald to Dakota.
Yeah, so clearly the FBI network is all up and running. So nodes will work. All the FBI repeaters will work. Phil's repeater.
But we just aren't connected to MI-1. Yeah, a quick look at the dashboard would probably show that, but everybody's driving, can't get to the computer and look at that. So, that's that. If you're on a node and you're on Romeo or Richmond and we're down here on Warren, then the FBI network is intact. And if there's no LPS or UMB, then we're just not connected to the MI1. That's pretty obvious. So, okay. I'll look at it when I get back to work, try to see what happened there. Anywho, I'm on 16 Mile Road. I'm just going across Shaner right now, and 16 is considerably better than DeQuinter was. It's wet looking, and I don't trust it. Oh, as soon as I cross Shaner, it gets a little frosty. But I'm not too worried about it. Just keeping my distance, you know. And the thermal bobs is 14, so we got a heat wave going on. Anthony?
Yeah, that's kind of the what I got on my way in. The surface streets were kind of a bummer. The highway was good-ish, other than two big traffic backups. And actually, I'm DeQuindering 12 Mile right now, and it's significantly better than the streets were on my side of town. So, it was not good getting to the expressway. I can tell you that.
I am currently looking at the hub, and I do not see the M1 on there anywhere. Everything else is lighting up. Okay, but I don't even see the TJ's repeater. The 2.17 thingamajiggy, that's not even lighting up. So, oh no, wait, it just now lit up. So, I don't know, but that's where we're at. But I don't see the M1 on here anywhere.
84 ZYQ.
Go ahead, Joe. Pass it to Dakota.
Yeah, good morning, guys. I'm on the K8 FBI, the .600. I just want to say good morning. Wish you guys a great day. Travels to work and whatever, wherever you're going. Have a great day and good return trip home. I think we got at least 5-6 inches of snow over here in Clinton Township. And boy, you sounded, Sean, you sounded very clear on the input frequencies. So I knew you were pretty close there. I think it goes over to Dakota. I'll just listen out. Guys, I don't want to interrupt your QSO and your round table there. Have a good day at work. Just wanted to wish you the best. KE4ZYQ. Take it away, Dakota.
Thanks, Joe. Good morning. Stay warm. I'm getting detoured on a back road here, and I don't know what's up with my headlights. I think I got ice on them because I can barely see now that I'm not following traffic, so I might have to pull over and check those right quick and maybe clear them off. And Sean, I did get that Debian box working and figured out. It took me a second try. That was the first time I did a bare metal install of Debian. And I was trying to do it at work and getting frustrated and getting interrupted instead of just sitting down and doing it. And once I figured it out, it took me probably 10 minutes to burn through. So the only thing that I got to do left to do is the ASL-menu command and then configure it as a node. So tell me what I need to do.
All righty. Yeah, I got the radios and everything else in the board, and I've been last week was terrible. I've been putting up with this vertigo crap. It took me out, Tuesday, and I was off again on Friday because it was giving me some trouble, and I just wasn't really up for much. I was lightheaded, and light was bothering my eyes the days I was working, so I didn't get nothing done last week, and I don't know what it is. I'm still battling this vertigo. It's only when I'm lying down, just before I wake up, like when I wake up from sleep, and I'm starting to question because it should be out of my system by now. But anyhow, I'll get on it as soon as I can. I got everything right there, right in front of my face. I just gotta really just do it, and therein lies the rub. Anthony?
Quick comment.
Go ahead, commenter.
KE4GYQ07 with the vertigo. There's a thing on the internet, on YouTube, that I use that worked for me with what you're describing. And it's the crystals that are in the first of the inner ear. When you lay down or change positions or lay down, get up, whatever, those crystals get displaced, and that gives you vertigo and all sorts of stuff. I went to the YouTube and found the guy that, or woman or guy that did the maneuver where you're kneeling down on the floor and you put your head down on the floor, turn your head to one side, whatever the worst side is that throws you off balance and vertigo. And there's a way to replace or put those things back in position that helps everything. So check it out if it makes sense to you. Check it out. I can't give you an exact link, but there is some relief in that, and I had to do that, and it worked for me. I had to do it a few times, but it really worked. Whoever gets it next, go ahead, and I'll stand by. Sorry to interrupt again. KE4ZYQ.
No problem. Hey, Dakota, when it comes back around to you, what are you building? I would imagine it's a node on a computer or something, but when it comes back around to you. Go ahead. I think Donald's next.
W8RCY. Yeah, Sean, I'm sorry that you're back under the weather again. I remember hearing you on the radio a little bit on Tuesday, but before I started shutting down on Wednesday and I left. But that's a bummer there. I've had that problem as well. But I've had like an inner ear issue with me, and some of it I was even concerned about because I've had several concussions over the years, and as you get older, those things come back to haunt you as well. But I just wish you all the best with that. And over to you, sir.
I think it's my turn. All right. I'm building a... trying to build a node that I'm going to utilize my antenna to fill a void for the FBI in my area, because Imlay City, Elmont, Northern Elmont's kind of on the fringe of all the FBI and UMP machines, or not UMP machines, what the hell is it called, Central Michigan machines. And Sean, don't sweat it. Tuesday night, my two kids started getting sick, throwing up, and then my wife got it Wednesday. And then I started feeling crappy Thursday, and then I woke up Friday just wrecked, all kinds of things exiting the body. So I was down and out basically all last week, too. So I feel you. I hope you feel better. I'm finally back on the horse and alive. It was a nice 5 days off of work, but it would have been better if it wasn't, spent in a bathroom or bedridden because I couldn't get out of bed with a pounding headache and nausea. So hope you feel better. Hope you kick it. I know it sucks being down and out.
Right. Well, one to Joe's comment. I know there is some sort of procedure, and I'm gonna look that up because I'm starting to wonder why it's going. I thought sure it was a bad reaction to this medication. It still might be because I've never experienced it before, and it was so bad last week that. It really just making me nauseous. Now it's just not gone is all. I wouldn't say I'm ill. I get up in the morning and I feel it, and I have to just wait for it to pass, and then I go about my business. So, I'd hardly call it, debilitating or anything like that. Last week it was a couple of times. Anyhow, enough of all that. I'll look into my problems as I need to and get it squared away or whatever, figure it out. But, sorry to hear about that. You were actually sick. I was just busy. That sucks. But, I remember having kids. It's just how it works, man. Something about having all them little ones. You got to be all just, up on top of them and spreading everything around. There's no getting away from it. You got little ones. You're all gonna get sick. Anthony knows a little bit about that, so I'm removed from it by a generation.
Yep, it definitely happens, and it happens more than you want it to. But I've been pretty lucky so far this year. My daughter was sick before Christmas. But I managed to not get sick or not get it as bad as she did, at So it's not fun. Over to you, Donald.
Well, my girls are both in their 40s now, so it's been a while since I remember those days, and I don't remember them before I got divorced because they were, what, 7 and 3 and a half when I got divorced. So time has flown, but we were fortunate. We made sure they had their, you know, their shots and their immunizations, and other than sniffles, I really don't recall the little ones having any major problems. That was back in the early to mid-80s era. So that's about my story on little ones getting sick for sure. Dakota?
At ADDF, you don't realize how disgusting children are until you get the illnesses that they get. Somehow, knock on wood, the two-year-old has dodged the bullet and has not had any sort of illness or symptoms that the whole house has had, so I'm hoping he's clear and through it. I always say he's the dirtiest one, so if he thrives in filth and germs, he's probably got the best immune system of all of us. But, yeah, I'm ready for those days to be behind me, but I'm not trying to wish anything away, but man, it's like when the kids get you sick, it's not like you get sick, it's like you're down and out sick.
Skip me this round at the drive-thru. It'll be it if you.
Yeah, they can definitely take you out. I remember my daughter got hand, foot, mouth a couple times over a couple different years at school and daycare. And one year, I remember telling my wife, don't get in her face, don't get in her face, you're going to get that. And what do you know, like 3 days later, my wife, as an adult, had hand, foot, mouth. And she was not thrilled. Over to you, Donald. This is probably, I probably got one more round. I'm pulling up at the office finally.
By the way, Anthony, sorry I didn't get your traffic reports this morning. I was kind of busy unpacking and just getting in the door, and I haven't really turned anything on to see what's really going on around here, news, traffic, weather, all that stuff, other than it's cold and miserable. So I'm sorry. I should be back on the horse for traffic reports in the morning. But, yeah, this thing now with, you know, when the kids get sick, kids today, from what I've just learned as a non, you know, I'm an adult with adult kids now, the kids in school today, they just don't seem to, you know, parents just don't seem to look after their kids more, and they send them to schools getting sick. And your kids get sick from their kids, and it just explodes, and then the kids bring it home, and everybody in the household gets sick. I know somebody who's going through that recently, and it was like if one son came home and he was sick, the other one caught it, and blah, 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 took out the family. And then the other son would get sick, and it would just be an endless, vicious cycle. But I remember back as I was a kid, if you were sick, you stayed home, and I don't know, I guess just parenting practices or whatever, society has changed so much that I think the responsibility starts at home, and it's just not there like it used to be. That's just my take. Sean's in a drive-thru, I think. I heard him say. My bad, Dakota.
So I think the cultural societal drift there is parents don't have alternative child care or can't afford alternative child care. So if their kid's sick, they send them to school anyway because they have to go to work. At least that's my theory. I don't know if it's accurate, but it kind of makes sense in my mind. And, I mean, why else, right? Like, when my kids are sick, even if it's the sniffles, I'm like, no, keep them home. There's no reason for them. Like, they're, especially at the age they're at now, they're so young, they're not doing, you know, they're not solving the world's problems. They're coloring and learning the alphabet. So if they've got the sniffles, keep them home. Don't let them get worse. You know, let them recoup. And don't contaminate other kids. That's my philosophy. And I think the other thing, too, is schools have cracked down on attendance and tardies. And they can only miss so many days a year before, you know, they can't go to the next grade or they got to do summer school, whatever the BS public school crap they do. And I think that's another part of it, because parents want to go on vacation, so they save the kids time out of the school for that crap. So it could be a priority thing. It could be a child care thing. Fortunately, I don't really care to go on vacation, and I want my kids to be healthy, so it's something I'm not going to have to worry about.
Dakota, you are right on both of those. That is spot on. But, hey, guys, I am pulling into, well, I'm trying to get into the office, so I will connect with you guys a little bit later. I'll talk to you soon. KE8RUH.
And I'm back for a minute.
Catch you later, Anthony. Go ahead, pick it up, Sean.
Okie dokie. Yeah, I got my coffee and got a bagel, and now I'm just making the final approach. My coffee stop is just a mile down from the shop. So after I get through the drive-thru, I just got a little drive. Looks like the UMP is not connected, as we said, and so I don't know how I'm holding the 2-6 here. This is a rough area right where I'm at right now, but I'll probably be in for one more. Donald?
A little sizzle in the bacon, but not an issue at all. You're doing fine with it. Yeah, and Dakota, yeah, you nailed what I was trying to say. You nailed it perfectly. My mouth and my brain aren't working right now, which sometimes it never does anyway. But anyway, yeah, so, yeah, you nailed it spot on about all the factors that are involved compared to where when I was a kid, my parents, my mom, my dad was a meat cutter, and it was a one-family income, and my mom was a stay-at-home mom with three kids. You know, and then when I got married in 80, both me and my wife had to work because we were just starting out, and the kids came along, and we just got a house out there in Chesterfield at the time, and now in today's society, I don't even think two incomes are going to cover everything, and if you got kids, you got to pay for the child care or whatever. If the kids are home, you have to get a nanny, a sitter, or somebody to tend to that, so yeah, you conveyed it much better than what I tried to do, so... my hat's off to you on that one.
Not me. Anyhow, I just pulled up here at work. Man, they do not do our drive very good. I've lost two parking spots of all them parking spots I fight over. Anywho, everybody be safe. Be warm. I'm going to get inside now. W8FU.
All right, Sean, have a good day. Catch you later. And Donald, yeah, that was another thing I was thinking, too. I had a conversation a long time ago with my wife's grandpa, and I didn't want to sound ageist, but the dual income, you know, the boomers, is really when the wives started to work. And I think that played a big factor, right? Like, I was fortunate to grow up with my mom at home pretty much my entire childhood. And I think that made a big difference because, like you said, if your kid's sick, then mom's home, right? There's no excuse. There's no reason to send them to school. And nowadays, for the most part, most spouses, and you know, it's dual-income housing, or most people work. And whether they can afford it or not, that's another thing. But I don't know. My wife's baby mama-in-law doesn't work, and she still sends her kids to school when they're sick because she needs a break, she says. So there's just people like that out there, right? So I prioritize my kids over anything, first and foremost. So if I got to miss work to take care of my kid, I'll miss work to take care of my kid. My obligation as a father, I chose to have children. I need to take care of them. It's not someone else's problem.
FBI. Hub. Time out.
W8RCY.
Hey, it finally stopped. All right, I'll catch you guys later. NAQDF.
W8RCY.
Good morning, Phil.
Good morning. Being warm?
I am trying my hardest. If I crank up the heat too much, though, then I get ill. So it's comfortable in my service vehicle.
Very good, very good. You got a DMR radio. Which one do you have? Do you have the Motorola or the NHL?
I got the Motorola, the XTR4550.
Okay, I just got the NHL 890. I discovered something. I was trying to run it through my hotspot, or trying to connect up the systems, and it just wouldn't do anything. So what's going on here? I started to dig into it. Found out they now have a separate thing for transmit color code and receive color code. It used to be the same. You know, it said one. Now they're separate, so they were all zeros. I had to export the file, change it to, copy all the receive stuff to the transmit side. Load it back in, and now it works.
So the NHL has a receive color code and a transmit color code now? Well, that's crazy.
Yeah, really. I've never heard. Are there any systems out there that would have separate? I've never heard of one.
FADFC.
Okay, go ahead.
Yes, KFADFC. I'm kind of new to this, but I did hear some good talking over the United States, and I know that the code is one for that, but they said it's transmit with color code 3, and my radio doesn't let me do that. But it says that if you transmit with color code 3 and you're bumping heads with someone,
what? quite noisy, and it's got something about Calico 3 and something they use a separate one. I couldn't quite make out everything.
I'll try once more on West Bloomfield. I'm kind of in the middle here. I was just talking over the state one that, you know, they say to transmit in color code 1, but the color code 3, it will also get through and just prevent maybe that.
Okay, got most of that time. All right, so for some reason they do take a different color code. I didn't quite understand the reason why, but go ahead, Tom.
Yeah, mine is just on the TYT, and the Retevis is just one color code. Wonder why they changed it on the Anytone. And it just seems a little odd. I mean, I know that I think what Shane says is you're transmitting on one, you can receive on three, or transmit on three and receive on one. I mean, but I could be wrong on that. Good morning, Shane, KCKGO.
But MI5, you need to be on color code 1. There is no color code 3. Give me an SWR.
Good morning, and I'll clear out of here because, yeah, I think I'm in a bad area. KF8, EFE, I'll be clear.
Thank you. That was the best transmission yet. 100% clear.
And Jeff jumped in there. You heard you. So color code 1 is for 51.
Yeah, all the MI5 stuff is color code 1. Anytone with the new radio has got separate transmit color code and receive color code. I know a lot of radios will do separate PLs and stuff for analog, but I guess it's the same kind of concept. But I've never heard of a DMR system that uses a split. Unless maybe they do something like if they use a different color code, maybe it doesn't go out over the network or something. I've heard things like that. But all MI5 talk groups are color code 1. KBSWR. Color code 1 across the board. In, out, round, top, the bottom. Color code 1. KBSWR. Okay, Jeff, thanks for that. So, where are you off to today, Tom?
I'm about 1.3 miles away from my first destination, which is a bank here in Dearborn. And then looks like I got something in Ann Arbor now, in Plymouth. And I guess more or less staying in the Detroit metro area.
Okay, well, I hope the roads are better where you are. They are like a skating rink here in West Bloomfield. They're just very, very slick. I just passed a police car with a car off the side of the road, quite a ways off the side of the road. I don't know how it even ended up like that.
Well, if you stay in the center two lanes, you're just fine. Go on the outer lanes and forget it. It's all slushy and slippery.
Yeah, well, it doesn't matter what lane you're in here, out here. Okay. Building a new restaurant here. It's been building it for like 2 years, it seems like. Waiting for it to open. It's part of a chain. Looks like it's getting close, though. We need a new place to eat around here.
Is it fancy schmancy, or is it like a Chick-fil-A?
No, it's in between. There's a series of restaurants that are called taverns with numbers, like this 4th Tavern, 3rd, 5th Tavern. It's the same owners. I think this is supposed to be the 6th Tavern. I have no idea where 1, 2, and 3 are.
Oh, interesting. Let's check it out next time I'm out in that area.
Yeah, it's good casual dining. The food's, I like going to the one that's called the Fourth Tavern. That's out on Crescent Lake, Elizabeth Lake Road, and Cooley Lake Road. And I've always never had a bad meal there. Service is good. Prices are reasonable. Well, what else could you ask for?
Exactly. The better the food, the happier I am. All right, I have arrived, so I will catch you in a bit. I'll be out and about as usual. 73 in your final. KCH, KJO.
All righty. Catch you later. KHPR. KPR from N8HTV. Hey, John. How's it going? Well, you got your call sign change, huh? You just noticed that? Yeah. It's been, how long's it been now? Been about 4 months. I don't listen here much, so I wouldn't hear it. Well, even when I called you and talked to you on the other machine, I was using it. So, guess that's one of those things you didn't even notice it until you noticed it. Yep, exactly. You know, you don't even hear the beginning. You just recognize the last three, and those didn't change. So, there you go. So, I was just looking at the. Just looking at the calendar and plugging in a few things, and it's like, oh shoot, Livonia's on Saturday, not on Sunday. Yeah, I don't know why that is. Maybe that's the only time they can get the building. Who knows? Quite unusual. Yeah, well, you know, it's the way things go when you're using church facilities. Oh, is that what it is? Okay, I didn't know that was a church facility. That makes 100% sense. All right, well, it's not a problem. Yeah, I just put in for a Saturday. I logged on the calendar. It's like, you know, set up for Livonia, because typically it is a setup. At least if it's not a setting up at the place, it's loading up the car. So, I was like, wait a minute, I know it's on the 21st, it's a Saturday, shoot, I'm all messed up, so I went back and verified it, and yep, it is on Saturday, so, and then I'm all set right now. David got me tables for Toledo. So I got him the table for Livonia. So we just swapped out duties. Yeah, sounds good. So, yeah, I got a few things to sell. So, always something, but that's usually always a decent one. So, I'm looking forward to it. Yeah, with the call, I always wanted a 1x2, and I just... came available. I wanted my initials in it, so actually it was Sean who found out about that. It was a guy who was been deceased for 3 years or something, and the call was still active. I had to contact the FCC, send him his obituary or death certificate, and have the call canceled, and then I had to wait a month or whatever to file it, and it turned out I was in competition for two other people, and I was actually contacted them, one of them, and asked him if he explained the situation. He was looking for other calls, too, and I was only looking for this one, and asked him if they dropped their request, and one did, the other one never responded, so it was down to 50-50, and I ended up getting it.
Oh, good deal. I think about changing mine every now and then, and I look, and it's like, is there anything coming up? You know, the one I missed out on is the one that I really wanted. Was I wanted Whiskey Delta 8 Romeo. That was John Lewandowski. He got the call. It was an original issue to him, and I guess he must have passed. But anyway, it was coming up available, and I was late putting in for it, and did not get it. But part of the reason why I really wanted his call was because his tech/general call was November 8 Hotel Tango Delta. So we used to drive the people over at Eureka nuts because we would check into the net. And at HTD, John. Okay, got you. And at HTV, John. Well, you already checked in. We have already got you. It's like, no, this is the first time I've checked in. So we used to drive nuts because, you know, both of us were John and, you know, sounded so similar. So I really kind of wanted his, and, you know, and but that's the reason I wanted to do it, because I've known him for a long time, and, you know, we used to have fun driving nut controls nuts.
WIX, I was related to WD8R.
Okay, I'm going to let you carry on. I'm pulling in the garage here. So, yeah, I'll catch you later. Over to you, John. KPR. Okay, we'll see you, Phil. So you were related to John?
Yeah, one of my dad's cousins, so I really wasn't, I probably wasn't related at all. I was probably a fourth or fifth cousin, but yeah, I was semi-related to him. And I am Polish, too, like John is. And the other thing is that call has been issued, because I was going after it as well, and I got a report from the SEC that the call's already been issued. I'm like, it can't be. And there's some girl in the middle of the state that's got it.
Yep. So, but I actually put in for it when it was available and lost out on it. So, whatever. So, maybe I'll find something else. Let's see. I'll see if I can get WP80.
That would be a good one, yeah. Good call for CW. WDNR was a good call for CW. That's why I wanted it. And then I found NA.F, and I went, oh, yeah. And I was telling my buddy Russ down in Florida about it on D-Star. I figured, no one's going to hear us, right? Some guy 7 miles south of Lakeland in the Tampa area, he went and got put in for the call, and he got it. Because when I put in for it, they said, it's already been issued. I go, no, it hasn't. And I looked at it, and I went, doggone it.
Well, see, Chris, that's where I wish the FCC would change the rules and say that if you have a call sign that is issued to a different call area, you must identify as, you know, like he would have to identify as portable 4 every time he set that call or sent it on CW. Because it's not fair that, like, and I'll use Bill Rojas. He's a good example of what I would like to see done. Bill identifies WA1APX portable 8 every single time he identifies. And so now you would take having those short 1x2s and 2x1s and add more speaking to it. So if you want to just identify with just the call sign, get your own 4-land call. That would free up the 8-land calls for people in the Midwest. So not my problem that there's a boatload of 4s compared to, 1s or, or 7s. If you want to use that call without saying portable 4 or portable whatever, get a call sign from your area.
Yeah. That's a pretty good argument. You know, so if you look at, so let's just say there's some DX out there, and he's got a pileup, and he says, okay, I'm going to start taking it by call areas, I'm going to take only ones. Well, Bill's in the 8th call district, so he's jumping ahead 7 numbers, because he can take the one. But if he had to say portable 8, they would say, hey, wait a minute, you're in 8 land, you got to wait for the 8 lands to be called. And then they, if you persist on that, then they blackball you and you don't get to work that DX.
Oh, I see. Okay. Yeah, but he's a portable 8, he's moved here, or he... Yeah, I see what you're saying, yeah. That'd be a tough one.
But I give Bill all kinds of credit because he says portable 8 every single time. Because there was a huge Aurora one time, and I'm hearing a faint, weak signal on Aurora, on 2 meters working Aurora, and I hear a KL7. So I start swinging my beam, figuring, well, I probably should swing a little bit farther to the, to the west to try and catch an Alaska station. And I can't believe that I'm hearing this, but with an Aurora, you never know what's going on. The bastard was up there in the UP, and so, he's got all kinds of signal into the Aurora. He's able to work it with not very much, because he's right up there in it. And, that pissed me off. It's like if he said KL7 portable 8, I wouldn't be looking for him to be where his call sign says that he should be.
Yeah, that's unnerving. You hear the prefix and go, oh yeah, get all excited. And the guy said, oh yeah, I'm up here in the UP in Escanaba. Like, get out of here. No wonder he was so strong.
Well, he wasn't very strong, and that's the whole thing. I don't know how much power he was running, but yeah, it's you get all torqued up and everything, and it's like, oh, a big disappointment. He's like in the same state you are, and I'm actually blasting my signal in the back of his antenna. So that was not a happy camper at that point. So I wish they would make people do that. That way it would encourage people to get call signs for the areas that they live in. I'll say that, W1IK, he's another one. He never identifies as portable 8, but, Bill always does, and I appreciate him doing that. I just got a phone call, Chris. I will catch up with you later. NHTV.
All right, John. Catch you later. WRX.
Somehow my radio switched over to Fusion. So, I don't know. Anyway, I had a big, long dissertation, but I got a phone call. I will catch up with you later, Chris.
No problem. WRX.
And HTV.
KKKGO, back on the road.
Yep. You hear, Jim?
Nope. Tom, Tango Oscar Mike. Kilo Charlie 8, Kilo Juliet Oscar.
We got too many radios going. NHTV, 73.
KF8FKV, listening.
W8RCY, testing the nose. W8RCY, this is KF8DTZ. You're coming through 9x9. Node is working. Appreciate the response. We had a little hiccup with it this morning. It seems to have fixed itself. Thank you again. W8RCY, we're clear. Welcome anytime. KF8DTZ, clear.
KHL, so am I for a couple more minutes.
Yeah, well, it's
tune for UHF. UHF is a little high, but this could be good pitch fit. Hold on here. I'm going to order another cup of coffee. My $1.06 coffee.
Yeah, that's a senior rate.
No, it's for New Baltimore residents only on Monday.
Mine's $1.90 every day, 24 rounds. And then after my eighth one, I get one free.
That's close to the same deal.
Yeah, pretty much. I just type in my phone number, and they go, oh, you got one free? I'm like, really? And it's like a surprise.
I have to use the app. And then they scan my phone. And then they say, can we bring your phone inside? It's too bright outside. So, but they don't have a problem with their scanner. I told them they do, but they come not telling the truth. Hold on, I'm going to go get the scanner argument with them. Maybe it's easy.
Okay, thank you, Joe.
Did I call with them?
All right, I'll be back in a minute. I gotta go check in. Hey, take a deal.
Get back to work. Talk to you later. WD.
WD8KL on the mobile.
WAPIJ.
This is KFA FQN listening. This is KFA FQN listening.
K8RUH.
Uh-huh. What's shaking?
It's so cold out here.
You know, it's funny. I felt the same way when I got in out to my car today, this afternoon. I thought, man, is it cold? But yet, it was more than 10 degrees colder the other day, and I was out back and doing some things, and I don't remember. I don't know. But it feels colder today than it did when it was 10 degrees colder than me.
Yeah, there's a little bit of a breeze this afternoon, so that is making things worse, I think. But yeah, it definitely feels cold. Maybe there's more moisture in the air or something like that.
It would be like the desert states. You can say it's cold, but it's a dry cold.
Yep. Hey, this maybe you could answer this question. I'm thinking about getting a mag mount antenna to put so I can get this Motorola antenna outside of the car. Do you think I could just get a BNC connector and connect a generic mag mount antenna and just operate a VHF antenna and be all good? Or is there something special with these Motorolas I need to be very careful about?
No, they're all designed for 50-ohm, 50-ohm coax, 50-ohm impedance with the antenna. I would probably recommend something besides a BNC, rubber duck kind of an affair. Those antennas are always mediocre at best. They're serious compromises. You know, a UHF quarter wave is very stealthy, and you can get a pretty small mag mount, you know, just something, size of maybe a silver dollar, maybe a little bigger than that. You know, it doesn't take a lot to hold that upright, and that'd work pretty damn good for you.
Yeah, the BNC connection would be more at the radio. I'd go SMA to BNC. And then I was even looking at, there's a Motorola makes a antenna that's a all-band mobile antenna that I could get. I think it was like $40 or $50. And then just get a NMO mount, mag mount antenna thing to put on the car. So I was kind of thinking about going that route. I don't know. I feel like if I got it outside of the car, I would have exponentially better, you know, it'd be so much better. I've experienced that with other radios. I don't know why this would be any different. I think my problem is I'm inside the vehicle and I'm not getting out very well.
Okay, yeah, no problem doing that. You can, get an SMA to BMC and, you know, use a BMC to connect to your coax. Sure, that works, and, you know, probably the most convenient. I've seen guys use PL or N connectors, and then they have, like, a jumper, you know, that has a small, like, RG174 jumper that goes, to, you know, so the part you'd actually lift up with the radio is on that small jumper. But anyway, you get it converted over to regular coax, RG58 or whatever, get that out to a mag mount. Yep, NMO is the way to go. As far as antennas go, I don't know that I'd buy anything Motorola offers because you're running mostly ham bands. I'd probably be looking at something in the aperture. I'm thinking about looking at, what is that 2x4 that everybody talks about? What kind of connector does that have? I've been thinking about trying one of those or something. I'll be curious to what you pick, because I'm thinking about trying something a little different in the NMO realm.
So I have a 2x4, but it is a, I think it's a UHF connector, not a NMO mount. But I believe they make it in there. And I really like it. That's what I'm talking on right now. It's fantastic.
Yeah, I'll be curious to see. I'll have to look around, look it up, because right now I run NMO 270s. I've got like three of those, maybe even four. So if you want to try one of those, they're all the black Teflon coated ones. They've all started to flake away a little bit, so they're not the prettiest, but you can purchase it. But if you wanted to give one of those a try.
I don't know if I'm getting in. I may have...
Where did that die?
All right. I thought it died. So let me know if you're hearing me.
Yeah, I was in the middle of telling you, you know, I've got NMO 270s. You could try one of those if you'd like. I've always liked those. But I'm ready to try something different, so I'll be curious. Do a little research on it myself.
Yeah, I like the 2x4. The one that I have, I think I traded something to Dakota and got it, and he was super hot on them, and I think he still is. So it's a great mobile antenna.
Right. I hear a lot of people talk about them. That's why I was wanting to try one, but... There's plenty of good antennas out there, so I have to do a little research on that, see what else is out there. I like the, like I said, I like the Larson NMO 270s, but I am ready to try something different just for giggles. I've had good luck with diamonds in the past. Like I had one that had several loads in it, so God knows what it was, you know. If Professor Dom is out here, he'd say, oh, yeah, that's, 7/8 over blah, blah, you know, or something like that. I don't know. It was probably something like that. Gain, two bands. And I used to run that on one of those UHF mounts, like you say, on one of my cars. But I haven't done anything like that in a long time. Kind of an NMO fanboy. So I'm going to look that up. I'm going to figure this out, see if we can come up with a good antenna that we can both get them.
There you go. Yeah, it was the Motorola that I was looking at was I want to say it was an all band. It was UHF VHF 7800, and it was like $50. That's without the mount, but just the antenna. So I thought that was pretty fair. So I'm going to look around and see what else I can find and, you know, test it out with, I have some mag mount antennas or mag mount bases right now that are BNC for the antenna connection. So I might just give that a try just to see if it's a proof of theory and then see what I can figure out for something better after that.
Yep, I've tried a few different tri-band antennas, I guess we'll call them. And I've not had good luck with those. They work mediocre at best, but I don't know if I've tried the one you're talking about. The Motorola one I have has got a huge, like, it looks like a beer can for the loading coil down at the bottom. And then it gets more conventional above that, but it's obnoxiously large. It would look really weird on a mag mount. I mean, unless the rag mount was the right size, but so I do have one that Motorola has sold with these 8500s. Then I've got a couple that were, one or two that were put out by a company called Pulse Larsen, and those were tri-banders. I might have one of those you could try. It's an NMO tri-band, and I'm running that right now on this car, I think. I'll have to look. Or maybe I got that on my regular car. I don't know. But it's Pulse Larsen that makes it, and it's a tri-bander like you're describing.
All right, I'll have to look that up when I get out of the car. Yeah, I'm just looking for, like I said, just a good solution. I want to be able to get more use out of the VHF P25 because when I can get on it, it's fun. You know, I was actually Saturday afternoon, I think it was, I was talking to John on it for a while. And, you know, otherwise, I feel like if I don't come up with a good solution that'll get me into the repeater solid more often, it's going to fall out of rotation, and I'm going to stop carrying it because it's, you know, it's a big radio. It's kind of a bear to carry, and right now I'm also carrying a DMR radio because everybody's talking on DMR so much. So I just want to make it useful so it stays in the rotation.
Yep, understood. So, well, like I say, let me see what I got, see if I've got something you can at least try, if nothing else. But yeah, look up that Pulse Larsen. I got the guy to demo me one. You might be able to call the distributor if you're at work and tell them, make up some story and see if he will demo you one.
It'd have to be quite the story. I think you could make a much better use case that they should demo you one than I could make that they should demo me one. But, you know, might as well try. KE8RUH.
Well, is there a potential for you to buy, you know, a few hundred of them? Because I think that's all they need. So we do offer that potential. But we don't need the VHF and the UHF. I offered, you know, our rep. He kind of said, yeah, let me get you a couple. So I think he got me two. I'll have to see if he's got one laying around. Anywho, so, my side street has not been cleared in any way whatsoever. So a little snow, but no big deal. I actually kind of enjoy it.
Something dropped out about 10 minutes ago, so I don't know if that's when it was. Let me know if you're over on Central Michigan, and I'll try to tune over there.
Hey, Joe. Hey, guy, I heard you guys on TJ's tower, and then all of a sudden you dropped off. I'm like, whoa. And I bumped over to Warren. That's why I was so static, and I heard you guys, and seems like it's back now.
Okay, that's good. Yeah, this morning they were not connected, which was interesting. I was on LTS and trying to find the guys this morning, and Sean popped over and was like, hey, man, we're over on Warren. And then that's how we figured out they weren't connected. So we must have figured something out this morning, and maybe there was a little glitch. I don't know.
Yeah, it dropped out, guys, but just as you and Sean were talking, just and he says, oh, look, it's plowed. I was figuring he was talking about his street was plowed.
Look at him. Yeah. Hopefully that doesn't happen too much more. I know they're working on getting the microwave stuff back up on Warren, so hopefully after the weather breaks they can get that going and it'll be back to the norm.
Yep, I know there was I saw the picture on Discord and ooh, doggy. So they're doing what they can, especially in the weather that we're having. You know, so I'd rather them do it safely and wait a while than jump on it and do it in this weather.
Yep. Hey, I did have a question for you. I know you you've headed up north a few times and you've been on there's a DMR repeater in Petoskey that's a Central Michigan. Is that thing pretty strong? Can you get that like across the bay in Harbor Springs and all around town?
I wasn't through Harbor Springs, but in Petoskey, man, it was cranking. So I'm pretty confident that down in Harbor Springs it'll be just fine.
All right, cool. Yeah, I'm headed up there this weekend and was just wondering. I only have an HT, and I know you're running a mobile, so that will make a big difference, but just would be interesting and very cool if I could have that connected all the way down here, because I don't think they have a connected UHF or VHF repeater up there, but there is the DMR.
I think they got something in Mackinac City for UHF for Central Michigan. You know, but I could be wrong. You have to know a little bit more than I would. But I think there is something up there.
Yeah, I think you're right, but Mackinac City's pretty far from Harbor Springs and Petoskey, and there's a lot of big rolling hills that would make it a difficult transmission to get into it, I think.
Yeah, I think I lost it a couple times in the hilly areas. Last time I was up there with DMR was right after last year's ice storm, I believe. And that was on mobile. But all I do is try. I mean, that's all I usually do is just key it up. See if I get something. But I think I've been up there and I had a pretty good reception.
Yeah, I think depending on where the repeater is, I would imagine it'll get across the bay, and I'll be able to utilize it. It just makes sense that over the water it would, and you know, probably at a higher point in Petoskey, and it'll make its way across and work well. Who knows? I'll play with it this weekend if I get around to it.
Yeah, let me know how it goes on the HD world on that, because I know I can hit it with the mobile. I'm gonna hit Pecani and all of them all the way up, so I'm pretty sure the coverage is pretty decent up there. Except going through the rolling hills, yeah. You might have. I think I had a little bit of issue with the mobile.
Yeah, we'll see. I may throw a mag mount antenna on the roof with the HT in the car and see how it goes, because I would imagine, you know, like Sean and I were talking earlier, that makes a huge difference when you got a handheld to be able to run the antenna outside of the car.
That's how I used to do it, was an HT with a BNC to a PL239. And I ran just a little mag mount outside the van before I got all my mobile.
Yep, I did the same, and I just have the one mobile, the analog mobile in the car, and then have the DMR and P25 handheld. So, gotta figure out a way to get those antennas outside of the car, and once I do, I think I'll be able to get into the P25 machines much easier.
Yeah, I think you'll get better range with it. Even though you're running 5 watts, I still think you'll be okay.
Yeah, and I'm flirting with the idea of switching out the radio in my car to a dual-band DMR radio, but I haven't made my mind up or decided to make the investment.
I don't know, I got the TYP MD9600, well, that's my coworker's using it right now. And she does pretty good. I remember dialing her around when I was traveling, and she seemed pretty decent.
Yeah, I've been looking at that, the Anytone 578, and mostly because I have the Anytone HTs, and pretty familiar with the programming and with the operation of it. Also, they have, similar to like what your Motorola radio has, that it does that IP roaming, the Anytones do something similar, and it seems to work pretty well. So that's probably what I would end up with.
Is that the one that you get through Amazon, or are you going to get it strictly from Anytone?
I don't know if you can get it from Amazon, but you get it from Anytone resellers. Like, there's that Bridgecom Systems, and there's actually some guys over in West Bloomfield that deal with a lot of Anytone stuff that I've talked to before. So, I don't know. I'm not in a rush to do it, but at some point, I may make the switch.
KFACLS, comment. KFA, is it ZLX or DLX? Go ahead, KKKGL.
Hey guys, I'm just listening in. Want to throw my 2 cents in there. Let me turn this other radio down. Radio out of the DD40 has just about everything that the Anytone 578 has in it, including the roaming capabilities, and it is a true dual receiver radio, dual band EMR. I have one in my truck. It is an awesome radio. Yes, it's pretty simple. Nothing major to get through, and works very well. Get a big deal.
Cool, I'll have to check that one out. Tom, I got one more in me. I'm almost home. I'll throw it over to you.
Yeah, I got $300 worth of upside cash to use on Amazon, so I got that burning a hole in my pocket. And I was looking at getting another TYT, but if the Anytone is better or the Radiodity, I'm going to take a look at those.
Now, the Radiodity, I know the Anytone 578 was $400. The Radiodity, I believe, is $269 or $289, so it's a little better on the price point, and like I said, you get, I think it's almost exact as far as what it does. So take a look at it. Maybe it's KFABLX.
I got all kinds of internet surfing to do tonight. I'll have to check that one out and maybe watch some YouTube videos about it. But I am about to pull into the driveway, and I will catch up with you gentlemen later. Have a good night, Tom. Safe driving around town. This is KE8RUH.
Yeah, I got that. I'm on my way home myself. When just getting into St. Clair Shores. All right, Anthony. Have a great night. Stay warm. I'll talk to you in the morning or something. 73KCHKGO.
Yeah, we may have almost passed each other if you're in the Shores right now. I was just at, 8 Mile and Mac. Catch up with you later. Safe travels.
KJO.
Hey, Tom, hopefully I'm coming through a little clearer than earlier. Just rolling up near Holly. I'm not sure who you were talking to earlier when I was trying to chime in, but what I was trying to say is I did hear someone on Statewide 1 saying that if you broadcast or transmit with color code 3, it prevented doubling. And so they were saying to do that. I've seen people do it. I don't have it programmed in my radio, and I still hear people. So it must be like the same as color code 1, but maybe with another feature. But I'm not sure.
I jumped in earlier. All MI5 repeaters use color code 1. I'm not sure where you got that about color code 3. There is a setting in there in the radio to keep it from doubling. But all MI5 repeaters use color code 1. Give me an SWR.
Roger that, KB8SWR. I appreciate that. Like I said, I heard someone on there say that. I know I've seen them come through with color code 3, but yeah, mine are all set to color code 1 because my radio doesn't even have a different setting either way, but they were talking about it. Just thought I would mention that I'd heard it, and I appreciate the correction. KF8EFE.
The setting in most radios where... I don't have the software up in front of me, but color code 3, not 3, it's color code 3, F-R-E-E. Maybe that's where you got the mistake from. Over.
You are probably right. I bet you I heard it wrong, so I appreciate that. KF8, DFE, I'll be clear.
Charlie Romeo, Echo. I've got that in my Motorola. So when the color code is free, you can transmit. But if the color code, you know, somebody's on the frequency and they're transmitting, then when you try to bump in, you can't. It'll kick you out and say channel busy.
You don't have to clear out every, just trying to correct it before it turns into a big thing, because people hear that, start programming the radios, then got all kinds of trouble, so you don't have to clear out, you can continue. I was just trying to stop that rumor before it went any farther, so it just dawned on me when you said that. Yeah, they were talking about color code 3, F-R-E. Carry on, KBSWR, thank you.
Thanks, Jeff, safe travels.
Yeah, I wasn't clearing out for that reason, and I do appreciate the correction. As I said, I wasn't sure it was right at all in the first place. Just heard him talking about it. I've got about 2 more minutes till I get to the house, and then I will be clear. But how's your day going, Tom?
Oh, just finishing up. Got about 30 minutes left before I call in and clear the run that we're out of. And then it's... homeward bound. Actually, I'm homeward bound now. We just don't clear out until 4:30, you know, because we get paid at 4:30 kind of thing.
Sounds good. I'm just on the home stretch and going to go home and hopefully study a little more. I've been trying to study up for the general and extra. I'm going to take both, I think, on the 3rd at a local club up here in Grand Blanc.
I'm going to be up that way tomorrow. I've got to go to a place in Flint. But I know Grand Blanc is like a hop, skip, and a jump down the freeway.
Yeah, I'll be in Flint, 75 Miller Road area tomorrow. I've got to drop my daughter off. She goes to Powers High School in Flint. And then I'll be headed to Waterford. But just pulling in the driveway, I may be on a little later from home.
messing around down in the basement. But have a safe rest of your day, and I'll talk to you soon.
Sounds good. I'll chat at you later. Eventually, I'll get out there by Waterford and come take a visit.
Sounds good. 73 KFA DFB.
73 KCAKJO. Monitoring as usual.
KFA KJO from KFA DPZ.
KCAKJO, go to Cliff. Good afternoon.
And a good afternoon to you as well. I heard you guys talking about a Radiodity radio earlier. What model was that?
Oh, I don't even know now. They were talking about the Anytone 578 mobile, I think. And the other one's the comparable one is the Radiodity. So another mobile that I got to get. That way I have another DMR in my personal vehicle.
All right, copy that. The only Radiodity I can think of that would be comparable would be the DD40D, and I'm playing with one of those.
Yeah, how do you like it?
It makes me want to violate the FCC rules verbally.
Well, I got a TYT MD9600, and my coworker's using that, and he's up ahead of me. That's one that we usually chat on. Because I got my XDR that I, use for DMR. Of course, I got a bunch of DMR HDs now. But looking at getting another UHF, VHF DMR for the Hyundai. That way I got something in the other vehicle when I'm driving around instead of trying to use an HD out the window.
Yeah, copy that. I'm just, having issues with programming it and trying to have everything keep working right, and it just does weird things that I have to go back and fix. Like, for some reason, it just doesn't like PLs 100 and 123, so if I edit the spreadsheet and then import it, it turns the PL tones off for those particular ones, but doesn't touch anything else.
Well, that's odd. Usually I don't use a spreadsheet, I just go in with the software and program what I want and then download it to the radio and get done with it. The Radiodity, is that sure compatible or no? I don't think it is.
The DB40D is not, but one of the things that intrigued me about it, aside from the fact that it was on sale, they normally ask $454, it was on sale for $300, so I grabbed one, was that, dual band plus DMR, plus actual working APRS that you can program, but the CPS from Radiodity is it's just weird. It's kind of hard to work with, but it is compatible with CP Editor. And that one is better, but it's still not as good as one could like.
I wonder if I could just go with the Connect systems. I mean, that one's UHF, VHF, DMR. I think that one's 300 something from what I remember Ken saying. That might be a plot too.
Oh, absolutely. I think maybe we dropped out for a second there again, so I just switched over to Sean's repeater and Warren to make sure that I'm getting out. Well, maybe I'm, who knows. Let me continue mucking with it because I have it mostly operational right now, and the part that I'm actually screwing with is trying to set up and test the APRS function on it. And hopefully if I can get that part to work right and know how to do it, then it'll turn out to be a decent radio.
Yeah, I'm going to check it out when I get home. See what all entails. But if I just stand down the DMR mobile, something for the other car.
Yeah, that's kind of my plan with it. I'm planning now, once I get it set up properly, it's going in my car, and I can get that anti-CQ out of there. And then basically once I have that in the car, then if I'm driving in it and things like that, I can carry my DM32 with me, but I don't have to use it as my DMR radio. I'll have one on the dash.
Yeah, that's what I want to do, is get another DMR mobile.
For the Hyundai, just go out drive with that. I got radio in there. And I carry DM32 everywhere, taking it by the window, which I don't mind doing, but still, to have something solid in there, put that and then put the GMRS radio in there, and I'll be all set there too.
Yeah, well, we'll get there eventually in all of our projects, won't we?
Well, that's why over Christmas I picked the Yaesu. I wanted Sys and Fusion as well. So I got that, and pulled out my Elenco. That's sitting upstairs, on the home antenna that I got in the attic. That's one that I use for Thursday. I doubt that this is the Fusion, use that like I'm using it right now. I love the Yaesu. I'm really impressed by it. It's a really good radio.
KFA DBZ. Yeah, Yaesus are good. I haven't really played with one, but so many people are happy with them. I'm sitting there going, maybe one day I'll pick up one of those. What I'm talking to you on right now, is an Elenco. I'm using it as a base. It's the Elenco DR MD500T, the model before the 520. So, dual band plus DMR, but it doesn't have APRS in or anything like that. Since I'm using it as a base, it doesn't need to cough up its location.
KCAKGO. Yeah, when I bought my Elenco, I got the DR735T. And I'm like, I'll hold off on the digital chip. Maybe I'll get it later or something like that. I should have got it when I ordered the radio and got the digital mod with it, because now I can't find it anywhere.
Well, that is just awful.
Yeah, well, not only that, I got an open spot at home for DMR, so I go to the network with that one. And then I got my All-Star node. That's all set up, too. And I got my backbone. That's all about.
Did you just call your POC a bat phone?
No, I have a Cisco phone at home that for hands over IP. Wally helped me program that, and then I got a VoIP account, so I got a telephone number attached to it as well.
Well, alrighty then. That's more equipment that I don't have the money to buy right now. I guess that'll have to wait. So I keep sticking with the more mainstream stuff. When I go digital, basically I'm just sticking with DMR because it seems to be the most widespread.
Oh, I got enough toys already. I just keep adding on to them. I got the game. I got the Tate T25. I got the Motorola DMR. I got the 1, 2, 3, 4 MRAP. And I just ordered another five-band antenna. Wally just got one. Sounds pretty good, so I ordered one of those. I got the CYT MD9600 with an antenna on that. And a couple other users. Probably talk truck truck. And what else I got? I got a couple of Lingo HDs that are just analog only. They're all sitting on the table charging one way or another. It's starting to be like Wally. He's got a ton of them sitting on a table too, sitting with chargers.
Yeah, I'm kind of trying to avoid being that guy and having just, tons and tons of radios. Basically, I want to have enough to do the things that I want to do and no more. Part of that's, paying attention to the budget. Part of that is the whole efficiency concept that we hams like to operate under, and so on.
One can never have too many radios.
Don't tell me that. My wallet can't handle it.
Yeah, I'm just getting it while I can. You know, my wallet can, I can let a couple birdies fly there out of it once in a while. Well, I also look for deals, too, like the DM32. I mean, I got that at a deal. I got, a DM1701 on a Black Friday special. You know, my Yaesu is my biggest investment so far.
And for the single item purchase, this link I'm using right now is my single biggest investment. I grabbed it from Walcott Radio. Everybody has a price of $380 for this exact model, but Walcott Radio had free shipping, so I'm like, okay, there's the deal.
Yeah, I got mine through DX Engineering. Love that place. That's where I got the AC from, was DX.
Yeah, it doesn't really matter where you get it from. As long as you get the toys you want, best price you can get.
Oh, absolutely. Like I said, this one, you know, I was trying to find the FPM 300D, but they didn't have it. I couldn't find it, so I'm like, oh, the 310, that'll work. And it's a 310D, you know, DMR, ASP. It's got a GPS on it. It's got APRS. The Wires X System Fusion. So, it has expandability in it.
See, that's the kind of stuff that I like. It has a whole bunch of capability already in it. So, as you know, like last purchase for, you know, Ultimate Base Station, where I only have one radio parked on the desk or something like that, that sounds like that would be the ticket.
Yeah, I put a little bit more into it. I mean, well, I didn't put any more into it. I mean, it was going for, I think, $549 or $499. I think it was $549. I got it for, like, it was under $5. Something like that. But I already got all the antennas. So, it worked out. I'm like, that's the one I need. That's the one I got.
Sounds good to me. Speaking of antennas, I got an antenna project over here that I'm going to take care of once the weather breaks and gets a little warmer out. Picked up an Alpha Antenna UV6. And apparently it is supposed to be able to talk on 6 meter, 2 meter, 1.25 meter, and 70 centimeter. Yeah, so I'm going to stick that 8.5-foot monster up on the mast and when the weather breaks and see just how well it does.
Yeah, I got my VHF UHF Yagi. I'm not sure what model it is. But it's a dual bander, and it's up in my attic. You know, I got it mounted to a copper pipe, and then it's just strapped onto the support for the roof. Vertical polarization, of course. Point south, and I can hit the Richmond MAC receiver. I can hit a double nickel. I forget which one I can't hit, though. I know I can hit GM, no problem.
Nice. Yeah, I grabbed one of those little Yagis myself. That's the other antenna project slated for later in the summer. I'm going to get that thing up outside on the roof and from Palco Electronics down Southgate. They've got a rotor that can handle it easily. You know, basically, you know, because this thing's smaller and lighter than a TV antenna. And basically, it's a TV antenna rotor. And they have that rotor for $83. So I'm looking at that, 5-foot tripod with maybe 15 feet of mast out of it, and stick that little Yagi up there and see what I can do with that stuff, being able to aim it in different places.
KCKU. Yeah, I have an Arrow handheld VHF UHF with a duplexer on it. That's just collapsed right now, so I want to use that for the ISS. I just haven't had a chance. I tried it a couple times. Just with things going on, I'm not going outside in the cold to get an ISS contact just yet. I'll wait till the summertime or something like that. So I've got that one. That one's upstairs. scrambled and just getting on Fox.
KFA DBZ. Yeah, that sounds good. When I go to try for the ISS, those little Yagis that we made at class, I'm going to try that and see if I can get in touch with them or at least hear them.
They need a duplexer because it's VHF uplink and a QHF downlink. So you need a duplexer Yagi for that. The arrow antenna tells them for about 200.
Alrighty then, I'll keep that in mind and abandon the idea of using that little Yagi that we made. I'll keep that around for fox hunting.
That's what my daughter's doing. Her boyfriend actually is doing measurements on it right now. He's going to make it another bait. Make one out of a tape measure. He's measuring it all out and everything else like that. Doing the custom. So he's pretty interested in it. But my daughter's ready to go. She's got the cable for it. She's got the radio for it. All she's got to do is make some pots on it. She's pretty excited about it. Doesn't have a hand light.
Yep, that she can. Well, maybe we can schedule one in the summertime, you know, when it's nice out. Anyway, Tom, I got to scoot because I got a couple things I got to do, and then I got to get out of here and go and try and make some more money. And with that, I want to bid you 73s and a safe drive, and I hope you have a good rest of your evening. It's KF8DBZ. 73s to you. Clear and monitoring after your final.
Sounds good. Be careful driving out there tonight because some of the roads aren't totally cleared off, so be very, very careful. 73 for now. KEP, KTO.
KFA DPZ. W8REK.
W8REK, KTO, go ahead.
Hello, Tom. How are you today? And I heard there was another station in there. I didn't quite get the call sign there, the suffix. I think it was KFA, and I didn't get the suffix, BBZ or something. Yeah, I heard you there about the comments there about the loads there, Tom. Yes, I was coming just about noon down 275, had another job, and it looked like it was wet. There was spray coming off, you know, wet spray coming off the road from the tires. But boy, there was a few spots there. Boy, it was slippery. Anyways, the other station, I think it was KFA-DBZ, if I have it right. Go ahead. Over to you.
Yeah, that's Kilo Fox dot A, Delta Papa Zulu, KFA-DBZ. And, I think he's got down to General. Sounds like you fixed your mic, Dave, because you sound a lot better than does it sound like you're in a tunnel.
Yeah, KFA-DBZ, I didn't really get too much of that. You're pretty rough. Tom, I'm actually using the bail thing here currently. I got to get the ICOM stuck back in here. But I did clear out the microphone hole. I'm going to have to see about giving it a test sometime. Probably, I'd like to try it, if possible, with somebody on Simplex. Because I want to make sure there's two, there are two menu settings that I'd have to just renegotiate just to make sure I have them set correctly now that I have opened up the airway for the microphone.
Gotcha. What little foul thing are you talking on?
I'm sorry, what was that? I heard something about something I'm talking on.
Yeah, I'm going through some sketchy areas here, Dave. I said you're talking on a foul thing? Is it an HD or a mobile?
The HD. I got the, with a UV5R. Jason picked up a couple, too. We were just chatting a little bit, too, on the way
out of our job.
No, okay, gotcha. Yeah, I got one of the older ones of those. I've had it for a few years.
Yeah, I gave Jason the copy of the file that I used for Chirp to program it. He just reused my file, so he got the same channel set up here and all that. Hopefully I got all the current ones. I think so. Well, I don't know. Maybe I'll add a couple tomorrow, because out west, we're heading out towards Kalamazoo or something. Some job we're supposed to be doing some cameras on. Well, I think it's probably better than Columbus.
Yeah, Kalamazoo ain't that bad. Been out there on more than one occasion.
Yeah, it's about a 3-hour trip or something like that. But yeah, I was just saying I'd much rather tour through Michigan than Ohio. Just kind of a block. Anywho, how was your weekend? Mine, I just did a whole lot of nothing here this past weekend. I hibernated and watched the snow.
That's basically what I did. Set up my ring doorbell. Set up my my hams over IP phone. And I still got to do a little bit more work on that. I still got to put more people in the sidecar. And got that all set up. And then basically just sat there and molded into the couch.
Run that by me. What were you doing with IP phones?
I was programming my IP phone for hams over IP. There's a bunch of us that have an IP phone, and we could talk to each other on it, or we could do a conference bridge. And then also, I got a VoIP number, so I think I got to get a new one reissued because I can't. I can call out with it, but I can't call into it. So for some reason, it's being blocked. So I got to get a new number reissued. So that's one of my other tasks this week.
W-A-R-A-T. Tell me more about this because I've never heard of this before. How does this work?
Well, there's a certain Cisco phone that you got to get. And then you got to program it. You got to get a hams over IP ID, which is kind of like a phone number in a way, a VoIP phone number. And then you set it up, and then I just hit a button, and I can go to the East Coast Reflector, and another button, go to our ARPS conference bridge, and another button, and get a hold of another ham operator that's in my address book. So there's probably about 30 of us that have them.
Okay, I'm going to have to take a look at this. They say ham is over IP, all right. I'm going to Google that when I get home. So how does it then work out for, like, push to talk then? If you check into I'm assuming it's like a all-star node or something like that?
Just like this. I'm on my Cisco phone right now. Hit star 99 to talk and pound to hang up. Go ahead, Tom.
Hello, Sean. And that's how it's done, Dave. Sean is on his IP phone. And like you said, you dial into the number for the FBI repeater, and then you hit star 99, you do your talk, and then you hit pound to hang up, and you can still monitor.
Well, hi. Good afternoon, Sean. This is me. I'm kind of interested in that. What I was thinking I'd like to do, maybe just play around a little bit between myself and my neighbors, would be like use a couple Raspberry Pis with the operating system. I think it's called 3CX, and it's just basically setting up like your own IP phone network locally. Anyway, John, over to you.
Okay, I'll make this my last on the phone, switch back over to my microphone, but this one is on the phone, though. But, you can do all sorts of stuff with those. Somebody will have to set up, an Astra server, presumably. I don't know what your what you're looking at there, and then you could provision it for your own. That's a little involved. But what they've done is the Hams over IP guys, and before that it was HamSAC Hotline. They kind of started it all, and then they broke into two different HamSAC Hotline and Hams over IP. And HamSAC Hotline was went defunct recently, and the Hams over IP guys have picked up all the slack. So there was a couple of competing products, and you know, you could do that. You can sign up for you know, for other services like VoIP MS and get a phone number, and you can call around that way. So there's all sorts of cool things you can do with it. But this is very ham specific. I don't know if there's any non-ham specific stuff you can do with them, but I'm sure there must be. Anywho, I'm going to switch back over to my radio because I don't want to be hit star 99 and pound all the time. Not a big deal, but it comes in handy when you need it, but I don't need it right now. Over to you, Tom, W8FU.
There's your answer. All right, I got to jump off too. I got to get some gas and stuff to make a phone call, so I'll be back out in a bit. 73 for now, Dave, and nice hearing from you, Sean. I'll talk to you guys later. KCKJO.
All right, very good. Well, catch you in a minute here, Tom. You're back out. Haven't got too much farther to go. Sean, you still around, or do you jump off?
Yeah, I just switched back over to my radio. I just was on the Cisco because I heard you guys talking about it. But, yeah, it's a lot of fun. We have fun with it. Like I said, HamShack Hotline kind of started this all several years ago, and then they went belly up for one reason or another. And I think they were just trying to control it too tightly, and it got out of control. You know, it was just too much for them to manage if they wanted that level of control. The Hams over IP guys were great. They just, you know, they'd give you your credentials. They'd say, here's your username, here's your password, and you could provision your own device. And I think it's making it easier for them to maintain the large influx of people, and we'll probably give them longer, you know, a little bit better staying power. But anyhow, that's getting into the details of it. But it sounds like you know a little bit about this. That's why I'm going there. But, yeah, it's a lot of fun. We're all playing with it now because we have plans to take it even further into the amateur realm. We tend to, you know, get free of the public internet requirement and network requirements. We tend to get this, you know, in a complete amateur world, you know, as time goes on, and it becomes another very viable form of hardened communications for us. So there's my pitch. W8FU.
And W8RAT. Yeah, one more thing I'm going to have to see about getting active and involved with something I've never heard of before. I've got quite a few other things I'd like to play around with. The other one is, what is the other newer digital voice mode? Is something like P12 or J38 or something like that? I can't remember. I'd like to try to look at that, play around with that for a second, and then see what that's like. But I got a lot of things like that. I'm kind of like, in the hobby, Sean, I'm pretty much flip-flopping. Like, I do something like for 3-4 months, you know, DXing or something, and not that I get tired of it, but I'm never going to return to it, but I get tired of it, and I switch over to doing something else, maybe playing around on VHF, and then do something like shortwave broadcast listening, just reception area. So I always seem to kind of just shift my focus a little bit here as far as where I go, but that's a couple areas that I'm going to have to take a look at and then learn a little bit here. One nice thing about the hobby, there's some old things that still are current, well, maybe not current, but position-wise and everything, but we still have some ways to get in here and new technology, so that's pretty interesting. So how do you go about then choosing what, like I guess reflector, is it sort of like a voice, you know, dial 1 for it, yay, and then you get a listing of A's, dial 2 for B, is it something like that that you could then go through? Or is there a location online that you could look up and then find out, like, the different reflectors?
Yeah, so there's, if you go to the Hams over IP website, they'll have pretty much all that information. They'll have, you know, they'll have a directory which will show all the people with their numbers on the network, and then they'll have conference bridges, and they'll have all-star bridges. And so, like, if you want to dial into the, if once you get a phone set up on Hams Over IP, if, like, for instance, you want to dial into this repeater system, you dial 15070, and it connects you right up. And if you want to, you know, go to the MECA, the 147200, you go, you know, 15088. And so, and it should have that directory in there. And a lot of information, there's information on setting up devices. And so that's the only thing I would say when you're buying a phone. You know, my recommendation is get a Cisco 525. Or if you don't want to go with that recommendation, which you should, then they've got a list of other ones that work. I'm sure there's even more, but if you stick with the ones that they talk about, you'll have the easiest time of it. And I think you can buy one, like new in the box, from a guy locally here. He's at 15 in Crooks, and I think you can get one from him for like $30. So, you know, it's hardly worth fighting about. Just go get one from him. It's like new in the box, and you got the best one out there, the Cisco 525. Arguably, you know, there are some really nice ones out there that are beyond that, newer, but I would just stick with the 525 and get your feet wet and all that good stuff. You had something else in there I wanted to comment on. Maybe I'll remember it next time around, or maybe you'll remind me. Tom, you back?
Absolutely. Warming up.
Yeah, I know that feeling, boy. Especially last week, too, boy. I sit there and left my sweater in the van, work van here, and I ran out to get some things. And boy, it was windy. Came back from just a quick trip out to the van, and man, my going numb already.
You know, Anthony and I were talking about that just a little bit ago. You know, I went out to my car in just a sweatshirt and started it this morning. Now, granted, it was just run out there, started, run back in. But, you know, it didn't feel like knives or anything like that. And the couple of days ago when it was like 0 or 3 below, but today when I left work, I felt colder than I felt in the last week. It's something about it. Anthony thinks it's because there's a breeze now, and that's really amplifying things. But, man, it felt cold. It was like 19 degrees. That's almost balmy.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's cold, but without the breeze, I mean, you can kind of handle it. But when that breeze comes around and hits the back of your neck, that's it. You're done.
Oh, yes. Yeah, just a small amount of that can do it. And I go to some spots where I sit there putting around in the basement over the weekend. I know some spots I got some drafty chills going on here. And it wasn't much at all, but I tell you, standing there, I can feel like a little gust of wind blowing. I'm like, oh boy, I got to see where this is coming from here. Plug it up here.
I got a drafty old house here, and I never bothered to, you know, much to my laziness, I never bothered to insulate it up like I should. I'm probably just gushing dollars into the atmosphere right now. But my basement's frigid. It's so cold. And it's like 50. And the upstairs is, you know, comfortable. And if I could just get that basement under control, I could probably cut my heating bill by significant amounts. But, well. That's for more ambitious people, which I should be. All right, anyhow, I can't think of nothing more on that except for, like I said, it's there's a lot of information on it out there. Go to, just remember, Hams Over IP, and then just get out here and ask. There's so many of us that are playing with it right now that somebody will be able to jump in and, you know, answer your question or give you a pointer. Plus the group over, the guys at Hams Over IP are very accessible as well, so. All right, I didn't walk in all that long ago. I'm going to get back to what I was doing. I just wanted to jump in and show you a Cisco phone in operation.
And unless there's anything else, I'll be listening. WAW, Tom.
Hey, okay, Joe. Yeah, Dave, you got to check it all out. Let's go to Hands Over IP and the Cisco 525 where Shawnee can get it from. When he gets the lot in, then you just prepay for it, and then he'll let you know when it's in, kind of thing. And then there's instructions on the wiki page on how to program it. You know, set it all up. And if you need a PoE switch in order for it to run proper, you know, in order for it to work, you can't use a PoE inject. You have to use a PoE switch and hardline into your network. And that's how mine is. That's how everybody's is. But it's interesting. I like it. And for a VoIP number, it's like $20 for the year or something like that. It's like dirt cheap.
Okay, let me ask you. I'm probably going to make this my last time. I'm just down the street from my house. I'll be pulling in. Can you refresh me? What was the model number for the Cisco IP phone? 2250 or just a 250?
525, a Cisco 525. I'll send it to you. I'll text you the model number when I get home.
Okay, sounds good. Thanks so much. I appreciate it. I'm kind of enthused by that. I had not heard this before, so probably going to do that when I get home here. Go and Google it and learn a little bit more. Okay, so I'll talk much later, Tom. You have a great day. 73 for now. WARIP.
73. Get work. ACK Joe.
WRO, go ahead, Tom.
Oh, just checking on you. I haven't heard you for a couple days.
Yeah, I should have called out there. I heard you on there. I meant to, but doing a little desk work here for the group. And actually, I'm ordering my Cisco phone right now. I went ahead and put a sidecar in there, eh?
Oh, yeah, I got my sidecar. I only got 3 entries in there right now. I got to get some more in there, though.
Yeah, I didn't realize there was quite a number of entries. Was it 32, 36, something like that?
Oh, yeah, there's like 32 of them. I only got one sidecar. Mine doesn't mind the stencil, though. It doesn't have the display that I can put the cross on it. But I got to get it all set up. And I got five other extensions we're all set up here. I'm getting there.
NAWRO. Yeah, you had yours and you're working on it. And then a couple days ago, Dave told me he had his set up. And, of course, Wally's got the big push on the Discord there. So I figure, well, let's get this done today. So yesterday I signed up for the HOIP account. Got that. Not a problem. And now ordering the hardware, so to speak, so I can join all the cool kids.
Absolutely. Yeah, because then we got the conference bridge in there, too, that we can use for meetings and stuff. And I know I missed today's meeting. Was there a meeting today, or was that canceled? I can't remember.
Yeah, I had an alarm set on my phone for those, and I guess I'm going to have to shut that off. No, I believe all future Mondays are canceled. They're on an as-needed basis, apparently. If you need to talk to one of the bosses, then you schedule it. Apparently, for now, there's no standing meetings. I was going to get a hold of John and see if he wanted to do a IT meeting. You know, it's just him and I just bounce stuff off each other's on the website, so it's totally unofficial, unscheduled, and sometimes Dean
drops in as well, but of course he's busy now. So, but you know, I just let John take the lead on that. Hey, I got your. I still have that one go kit. In fact, today is actually the first day that I cracked it open. So, yeah, we'll play with it a little bit, and then I'll make sure I get it back to Dave, and I'll let you know about it.
Yeah, no problem. Not a problem at all. I know where it's at, so we got to get the inventory stickers on it, and we can start working on getting that into the web page for inventory.
So actually, John was asking questions because he's looking at the Yaesu for his base. The serial number of this one ends in 552. I know it's just the radio, but do you want to use like maybe the last three or last two of the serial number of the radio as the number, or did you have whatever you want to do, Tom? Just let us know. I'm thinking maybe 52 could be the unit that I have.
Well, like a MAC address, everything is unique, so I would say if there's a last six, that would work. Then the preceding numbers are all identical, but I think the last six are the most important.
Well, that'll work. There's a number and a letter previous, but then it's a 050552. So I'm guessing, don't know, but maybe all the radios are sequential. And we could use that then, 050552 for mine. I gave you a snapshot of this same sticker, but I took a better one today of it. So, yeah, we'll work on it. I mean, it's not drastically important, but we do need something for, because I was going to go inside the website and sign it out to me, you know.
Yeah, I think the last six would be a little bit more beneficial, because who knows, the other one could be a 2 or something like that, so. We have the last six, that would be, I think, a better option.
Yeah, copy that. That's fine. Who knows, maybe they are not sequential, and you never know what you might have. So next time I talk to John, I'll mention that, see where we go from there.
Okay, that's the way with the HTs when we around. Do the same thing, the last six of this serial number. And that way we have them all, that we can use that more or less as a barcode for the whole kit. You know, yeah, you scan the whole kit, kit number one, scan the barcode, and then it comes up with a serial number of the radio.
Yeah, I saw those new IDs he made. And the IDs have that, what do you call it, a QR code on it? That was pretty cool. They're vertical, too, not horizontal. So I imagine we're all going to get those eventually.
Yeah, the QR code is the new barcode.
Alrighty. Where are you at, Tom? Are you getting close to here, or are you way out?
I think QR code is better than the barcode.
Yeah, sorry, I partially stepped on you, but yeah, I agree. That's the new version, like you said, and he's got multiple plans for that, some of which is a pretty good idea. If we report to a site, it could be scanned, and it could access our record in the system, you know, see what kind of training we had immediately, right on their tablet. I mean, that's fine. You know, that'd be great. Curious, where are you at? You getting close to QTH, or are you still out and about?
Oh, no, I'm home now. I just walked in the door a few minutes ago. I don't know if you want to try Simplex Richmond to Memphis and see what happens.
Oh, yeah, heck, sure thing. I always forget now. You're radioactive at QTH. I'm always thinking you're out and about whenever you're RF. Yeah, what do you want to do, VHF or UHF? You want to do the backup VHF or what?
Yeah, let's do the VHF first. I'm just walking upstairs here to get past the dogs.
Okay, no rush, but when you're ready, I've got 146.58 on the A side.
Okay, let's give it a shot. I'm going to switch over to 46580 Simplex.
Copy. QSY, NAWRO.
KGO.
KAPR, anyone out there knowledgeable about any tone DMR roaming?
What about the Roman?
I'm sorry, it's a little noisy. Who is it? No copy. KAPR.
WATIJ.
Oh, hello. How's it going? I haven't talked to you in quite a while.
Yeah, how you doing, Phil? Hope everything's okay. Go ahead.
Yeah, you're actually hitting my machine. Amazing. You must be on the outside of town.
Roger, at my base, over.
Yeah, sounds good. Yeah, I'm just a little perplexed about something with the DMR roaming setup. I can't quite grasp my, get my head around it. Looking for somebody who's an expert at it.
Yeah, I'm not an expert at the roaming. I don't do that. I'm not sure. Can you really set it up for roaming? I think that was intended for something other than DMR, but where would you use it?
You use it for, like, if you're on a network, like the MI5 network, and they have machines all over the place on different frequencies with all the same talk groups and stuff, and the idea is that if it loses the signal on the one you're closest to, it will search. You set up a list of channels with all the channels, the frequencies, and it will search through those to find the one that's got a strong enough signal. And we'll switch over to that one. So you don't have to keep manually switching channels as you travel. It will just automatically lock in on the one it can hit.
Yeah, okay, I understand. I remember that, but I was wondering if a Motorola is capable of doing that. I don't remember seeing that setting in the Motorola that I have here. But, yeah, I understand that. Go ahead.
Well, the Motorola, from what I understand, does it the right way. It does it by monitoring the RSSI, or the signal strength, and picking the best one. The AnyTone just basically searches until it gets a signal. It may not be the best one, from what I understand.
Yeah, okay, understood. I operate, if I have I have operated the DMR here at the house. I don't have anything in the car, so I don't need to roam here, but I understand the principle. And then I have an HT that probably the Kyteric will probably scan or something, or yeah, it'll scan and go to the, you know, scan it, probably go to the nearest frequency that's off, but I don't know of any roaming capability in that, but anyway, I hope you're doing okay. You survived the holidays. Did you stay healthy? Over.
Yeah, we were in California for most of it. Spent almost a month there over the Christmas, New Year's holiday, and but it was cold and rainy there most of the time. It was not what I expected.
Yeah, December is their rainy season, actually, if I recall. I remember years ago going to California, spend Christmas over there. And but it, I didn't see any rain there at that time, but it's not uncommon. But yeah, I think they had a lot more rain. Do you have family there, or were you just sightseeing?
Yeah, my son and his family live out there, so we go out there, we house sit for them while they go off on their on a ski trip every year. It's become a regular yearly thing we do. So they go off skiing, and we house sit and have use of the car and just until they get back. So we have basically a couple weeks with them and a couple weeks without them, which works out perfectly.
What part of California? Was it Southern California or Northern?
As they call it, SoCal, LA area. And I took my HD with me this time, my Anytone, and tried to listen, tried to talk to people. There is a very weird scenario out there. First of all, the repeaters are upside down. A lot of them are closed. You have to pay a member. And the ones that are open, it's like the Wild West out there. FCC rules, what are those?
Yeah, sorry to hear that. Well, I don't know. Maybe things will change. You have to start somewhere. If somebody steps in, probably things won't change. But yeah, that's not a good thing. But I got a brother that lives in Manhattan Beach, California, and you're pretty close to the ocean.
Yeah, you can't have that radio on and listen to those repeaters with kids in the car because the language is so bad.
Yeah, well, I think they need to be busted, don't you think?
Yeah, apparently the FCC doesn't care.
I don't know. I wonder if anyone's ever filed anything. I'm not surprised considering the stuff that you're seeing, what's going on in the West and other parts of the country. I am not surprised. No respect anymore.
Yeah, and half the repeaters are Spanish speaking, so you can't even talk on those.
Yeah, when you said closed systems, boy, I haven't heard that in a long time. There used to be a couple of around here years ago, but they probably had more people in their own little group that could use a repeater. And the rest of the world was, the door was closed, over.
Yeah, they have this big system out there, it's called Papa. It covers the whole state. It's massive. And you can't use any of this stuff, I remember.
Did you operate DMR out there?
I tried, but nobody comes back to you. We don't recognize you, we're not going to talk to you.
That's kind of like what it is here, isn't it? That's what I experience. That's not the hobby, one of the things people got to remember is if somebody gets on the air, they might be having a problem. And probably some people will say, well, they got cell phones, let them call 911 or whatever. But, I don't know. You don't know what the circumstance is. And it's just, I think, courteous to go back to somebody. And that's what the hobby is. You don't want to discourage people, but there's probably a lot of people who do get discouraged, and they say, this is not for me.
Hey, I just switched over to the Warren. I'm heading too far away from my house. So, when I hear somebody new, if I'm able to, I'd jump on and talk to them. I think that's the right thing to do. I think most people on here will do that.
WACIJ, it depends on the time of the day. People are busy working, whatever. There's just not a lot of operators out here anymore. There's a group of us that we're retired. I'm not sitting around collecting dust, but I'll get on the radio and hunt around, throw my call out, telling people I'm calling. And once in a while, I'll bring somebody up, but not too often. And you think there would be more people on, especially especially during the winter. You know, summer, warmer months, I mean, people are outside. I don't blame them. I'd be outside as well. Go ahead.
Yeah, Warner, do you get on the Novi, was it 444.8 at all? I reprogrammed my radio recently and put in some frequencies I didn't have any before, and that was one of them. And I'm hearing quite a bit of activity on there. Jump in there, chime in there once in a while.
Yeah, I can get on there occasionally. Once in a while, I'll talk to George. You know. And then the 443. 443-100, is that it? 443-100. I get on that. There's somebody monitoring periodically. I think his name's Chris. I don't know where it's called. But, yes, I've been on the Novi grid. Something must be interfering. 73-WAT.
What's got you over here, Phil?
Yeah. Everything sound good there?
No, I said, what's got you over here? And hello, Greg.
Oh, what's got me? I'm going bowling, so I'm now too far south from my house to get in. Is that you, Sean? WATI.
Yes, it is. How you been? Haven't heard you in a while.
Doing good. Thanks for asking. I thought I'd come over here because there's normally a lot of action compared to other places, but I got to step out of here. So motor safely, WATIJ.
All righty. Good hearing you. Talk to you later. And, Phil, you got to go out bowling, so... got you in the neighborhood. Okay, I was just curious. I'm looking to get some vittles for the wife and I, so thought maybe you'd have a good suggestion.
Oh, okay. Well, I don't know what's in your area too much, but definitely I know in your area is the breakfast place. Anyways, I was just putting out a call trying to see who. I'm working on that DMR programming on the Anytone. I'm just going to get my head around how the roaming works with it, how you set up with a channel or zone. Got me befuddled. I can't seem to find anything online to explain it better.
Well, I am the last guy to ask because I don't... I just stole your code plug, and I never looked at it again, except for I fine-tuned it for a couple of things that I like, and that's it. So, haven't ever played with it, and I don't know about it in the native Motorola environment. I don't monkey with it, so, and I'm sure they're different, so I don't know if you find somebody that's well-versed in Moto Turbo roaming, that they even are going to have any information that'll work for you on the Anytone.
Yeah, okay, very good. By the way, if you do end up getting an 890 at all, I've discovered something major.
I loaded in my, I exported all my stuff from the 898, including the 890, all the channels and stuff, and I tried to connect to my hotspot on the DMR, it wouldn't connect. I said, what's going on here? It's weird. You know, and then I exported the, all the channels out again, looked at the spreadsheet, and over on the far right, or over in another column, it says TXCC. They have a separate color code for transmit now. So I had to copy all the receive stuff over to the transmit column, load it back in, and voila. It dropped out there. That wasn't me. Somebody's just keying. I didn't respond to your last one. So, yeah, I don't know. Like I said, I don't know much about it. I haven't really explored, especially any of the DMR stuff on my Anytone. So I imagine the programming is pretty much the same between the new one and the old one, but I haven't even looked at the old one to any great degree. Yeah, it just threw me. Why would you ever need a separate transmit and receive color code? I mean, the code says about why they wait for the separate transmit deal CPL, but I've never heard of a system, a DMR system that you split. So I don't know, somebody must have said we need that. Don't know. All right, let me jump out. I just wanted to jump in there real quick and see what you were doing down this way and say hi to Greg and all that good stuff. I am going to go try to figure out, I don't want to get too late. Seems like more and more lately I sit around dragging our feet and then we don't get to dinner until 8 o'clock, and that's just not good for me. So I'm going to get with that. Drive safe. You're getting a little crackly, but still making you out 100%. All right, after yours, there'll be 8FU.
Well, from where I am right now, I never used to get in at all. I don't.
Yes, he does.
Yes, he does.
Yeah, I was trying to answer you earlier, but apparently Rochester is out of range. I heard you talking. You mean with the transmit color code?
Yeah, they have separate transmits. I had to find that out. Why is my hotspot not there?
Yeah, that's why I keep, you know, that's one of the useful things of having a scanner and being able to, you know, for troubleshooting stuff like that.
Yeah, I don't know if you heard the other part, is that I'm trying to figure out the road and stuff. But I'm where I'm going right now, so I don't know if you can play around with that at all. If so, I want to bring later.
Yeah, I answered you on Discord. Yeah, if you still have hams over IP, just dial my number. I've got ground there. Phone. My 578, I got it working with roaming. I don't know if it's worth it or not, but I can probably give you my 578 code plug and you can try it out and decide for yourself.
Yeah, that would be helpful. For me, it's the whole relationship between having
Talk later. Take care.
All right, talk to you later. KFAS.
WDAKLL.
This is KFA SQM listening. Alright, this is KFA SQM. I didn't do my daily contacts, but I want to say have a good night, everybody, and 73.